Hello and welcome back to Impacting Your World. I'm Apostle Debbie Diggs. Let's get started with our Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning to thank you and to give you praise. We give you all glory and honor. We thank you for all that you've done for us this week, Lord God. We thank you for the many blessings. We thank you for your love, your kindness, and your goodness towards us. We are grateful for who you are and for the fact that you are faithful towards us, O Lord God. And thank you for the many things that you continue to do for us, daily loading us with benefits. We are grateful for that. We thank you, Jesus, for the work that you did on the cross, for the sacrifice that you made for our lives. And we take your blood and we cover ourselves with that precious blood. And we say thank you for that. Thank you for sending us the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, our friend, and our guide, Spirit of the living God. We invite you this morning to pray alongside us as we pray these Colossians prayers, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. From the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray to make a special request, asking that we may be filled with a full, deep, and clear knowledge of God's will and all spiritual wisdom, in comprehensive insight into the ways and purposes of you, Lord God, and in understanding and discernment of spiritual things. I pray that we may walk and live and conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of you, Lord, fully pleasing to you and desiring to please you in all things, bearing fruit in every good work, and steadily growing and increasing in and by the knowledge of you, Lord God, with fuller, deeper and clearer insight, acquaintance, and recognition. I pray that we may be invigorated and strengthened in all power according to the might of your glory, kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. I give thanks to you, Father, because you've qualified and made us fit to share the portion which is the inheritance of the saints, God's holy people, in the light. And we thank you, Father, that you've delivered and drawn us to yourself out of the control of the dominion of darkness, and you've transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of your love, in whom we have our redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of our sins. And we pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, praise God. We have been talking about restoration and the power of a new life. We've been looking at Isaiah 58, which says that, you know, once we do the type of fast that God is desiring, then our light shall break forth, you know, like in the morning, and we'll have restoration and the power of a new life. Well, we've looked at several different areas of our lives where God wants to bring back restoration. He longs to restore us to our original position before we sin. You know, usually we put that a lot on the enemy, but Jesus has come and he has, reconciled us back to God. And so many times the reason why we end up finding that there's still places in our lives, still areas in our lives that are not yet restored back fully to God is because we have engaged in some form of sin in areas in our lives of disobedience, which is still sin. And so we open the door to demonic oppression. And so God wants to restore to us the things that we have lost through demonic oppression in those particular areas of our lives. And so far we've looked at several different areas. We've looked at the fact that God longs to restore back to us our freedom. He longs to restore us back to our position, to a new place. You know, he wants to establish back, restore us and put us back on a road to success and establish us in a new place, a place where, you know, we enjoy the blessings of the Lord, a place where there's no demonic oppression, just like for the children of Israel, a place where there is a land where it was filled with milk and honey, a land where they did not lack. And that's what God longs to do for us. He earnestly desires to establish us in a physical place, just like he did with the children of Israel in a physical place. We also discovered that the Lord also wants to restore our health to us. You know, in Jeremiah 30, verse 17, he promises, he says, "For I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds." So through sin, we find that our lives have been, fragmented or scattered in a way that can result in physical illnesses, or even to the point of, you know, death, decreasing our lifespan. Where that's where you find sometimes people suffer premature death and all that stuff. But God, who is our mighty physician, desires to restore our health back to us. And so that's one area of restoration. Another area we looked at is the fact that God wants to restore our joy back to us. We saw David in Psalm 51, verse 12. He prayed, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me by your generous spirit." So the enemy longs to rob us of our joy, to get us in a weakened position, but God desires to restore our joy back to us so we can be strengthened. That's why Nehemiah 8:10 says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so you know, the joy is a key factor, it's a key ingredient in any area for us to be able to move forward and to do what God wants to do for us, especially, you know, in every area of our lives. We also looked at the fact that He desires, you know, to restore to us, you know, God is a restorer of life. We looked at the account of Ruth, where in Ruth 4, verse 15, the Bible says, "And may He be a restorer, may He be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age." You know, so God is a restorer of life. He wants to restore to us the Zoe life that He intended for us to have from the beginning of time when He made man. And so not only does He want to just restore life to us, He wants to restore double to us. We discovered yesterday that, you know, in Zechariah 9:12, He says, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you." So we see that how restoration and hope are linked together, and God is the one who returns us into the fullness of hope. And not only does He return us to the fullness of hope, but He restores us back into our original position, but also brings us into a greater portion than we had before. Another area we looked at yesterday is that God wants us to come back into agreement with His covenant that He established with our forefathers so that He can bring us back. You know, He wants us to return into agreement with Him so that He can restore into our lives that which we have lost through, you know, through, again, demonic oppression, just like we saw in Nehemiah chapter 8, that the people had lost their inheritance. They were a mess, and everything around them was just, you know, destroyed. And one of the areas that we looked at is that they were not, you know, that week when God visited them, it was a week for them to rejoice. It was a week for them to celebrate. It wasn't a time for them to weep, a time to mourn, or to be depressed, or to be sad. You know, in fact, they were commanded not to be sad, not to be depressed, not to mourn, or to weep. But instead, He ordained that week they should have a feast. And so for 7 days, they were feasting and they were rejoicing. And after they had feasted and rejoiced, you know, they discovered that the joy of the Lord was returning to them. And as a result, they came back into agreement with God's plan over their lives because God wanted to bring restoration into every area of their lives. And so we left it at that yesterday. And today I want to conclude with another area. Now, these areas that I'm talking about, these are not exhaustive areas. It's not an exhaustive list. There's more. But I'm just going to conclude with this. The other areas that is so precious to God in our lives is our soul. God longs for our soul to be restored. In fact, if you go with me to the book of Psalm 23, we find that the psalmist wrote this beautiful psalm here. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, to feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. He leads me beside the still and restful waters. He refreshes and restores my life. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with Him, not for my earning it, but for His name's sake. Yes, though I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death, I will fear or dread no evil, for You are with me, Your rod to protect and Your staff to guide. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely Your only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life, and through the length of my days, the house of the Lord and His presence shall be my dwelling place." So we discover that in this psalm, verse 3, it talks about He refreshes and restores my life. In Amplified Version, it has it in parentheses where it says, "myself." He restores myself or my life. One of the things that, in fact, I think in King James it says, "He restores my soul and He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake." Now, a lot of times our soul, you know, it's an area that we need, it needs work. When Apostle Paul speaks about renewing our mind, he's talking again about our soul, because our soul is what houses our will, our emotions, and our mind. And it's the place that houses all the hurts, the pain, you know, all the different things, the thoughts, whether they be good or bad thoughts, negative thoughts, all that. This is our soul houses that. It's a really huge part of our lives. This is where, you know, we make, you know, through our souls, we can, you know, we open the door to the enemy to either, you know, to oppress us or not. He can only touch our soul. Now, if you read the Bible, you know that in 3 John 2, we are told, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well and prospers. So we know that God is very much interested in our soul prospering. And when we go to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23, Apostle Paul, he prays, and may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through, separate you from profane things, make you pure and holy, consecrated to God, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved sound and complete and be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah. So again, these three parts of us must be working, functioning together holistically in order for us to be complete, you know, to be found blameless when Jesus comes. So the soul is a great and huge part of our life that God wants to restore. So through, we've, you know, through a lot of the traumas or trials of, you know, circumstances of or sin, our souls can be left fragmented, which many times they are left fragmented because of the different things that we go through in life. And this kind of fragmenting actually affects our God-given personality. And the personality that God has given each one of us is a reflection or a part of some part of himself. You know, and when you remember, when, you know, when God made us in his image, we were made in the image of, you know, in, as a three-part model, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, spirit, soul, and body, in that order, not body, soul, and spirit, or however the world puts it. No, it's spirit, soul, and body. That's the order that God made us. And so if some of us, our personalities, you know, some of us reflect, you know, God's love for people. Some of us reflect the sense of order. Some even, you know, endless compassion. Others may even reflect God's ability to lead, you know. And so each one, there's so many other areas. Each one is good because he's the one who designed it. But because many times our soul is wounded by circumstances or because we've chosen to sin, our personality, the soul of who we are, that's what, the you know, when the psalmist is talking about, he restores my soul, the soul of who we are becomes distorted and fragmented, and in some cases may not even resemble what God intended us to be. But God can restore our souls to wholeness, so much so that the personality of God can shine through our own personality. Now, to understand completely, you have to understand how the soul works. So I'll briefly just go through this. Now, usually through our healing school is when I'll teach, when I'm teaching on soul ties and stuff. Now, first of all, again, it's important to remember that our makeup is how God created us, is that we are three-part beings. Just as God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we were created with a spirit, a soul, and a body. And so that's why we find that it's, you know, Apostle Paul said that it's imperative that we be whole, we be complete and entirely together if we want to experience success and blessing. Every part of us is dependent on our soul for success and for health and for fulfillment. That's why we see, you know, 3 John 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper in every way and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Why? Because as your soul goes, so goes your life. You know, your life follows after what comes out of your soul or how your soul leads. And so another thing to understand is that our life has to operate as it relates to these three parts, like I said, in the order that God intended it, which is spirit, soul, and body. And that's why you see when Apostle Paul says, may God sanctify you through and through, you know, he's speaking about may our spirit, soul, and body be found blameless. It doesn't start with body. It starts with spirit, soul, and body in that sequence, in that sequence. And so it's important to understand how these three pieces operate together. quickly, our spirit man is that part of us that was disconnected from, you know, from God when Adam sinned in the garden. When the Bible talks about, you know, there was death, it was a spiritual death. And it's our spirit man that was disconnected from God. It wasn't a physical death. Again, you know, he was kicked out of the garden, but he was spiritually disconnected from God. The spirit man is supposed to be the headship of our lives. The spirit man is supposed to be the one in control, ruling in our lives. That's the ruling element in our lives. And so it's designed to be the one that gives us that divine connection with God. It's the part of our being that grants us that direct access to our Heavenly Father. Remember, the Bible says that God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, our spirit is, you know, through our spirits, we are supernaturally connected to God. And so that is why when Jesus came back and bore our sins and our sicknesses, and he ascended to heaven, our spirit man was made alive. He reconciled our spirit man back to God. Amen. We're interrelated with God, no separation between us through our spirit. And because God is the spirit himself, and we are made in his image, we are cut from him, God that we possess. Although we are created as spirit beings with direct access to God, like I said, that access was closed when Adam willfully broke communion with the Father through the original sin in the Garden of Eden. So how to reconcile is by becoming born again. So salvation is key. That's when our spirit man comes in alignment with God, and then the lines of communication are once again open. That's why prayer is so important in a believer's life, because without prayer, you'll open the door to demonic oppression. But when we pray, you know, we have this, you know, opportunity and privilege to have divine communication with the Lord our God. You know, that's also our spirit man is how we are able to access the supernatural things. And it's important, of course, to be in the Word of God so we can operate and live on a level of the supernatural where we can hear God's divine directions and we can know what God wants to do, the times, and all that stuff. And so it's very important. In fact, in Matthew 26, verse 41, Jesus said that, you know, we should keep watching and praying that we may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so our spirit man is always willing. Our spirit man knows what it should be doing in life. It knows the disciplines we should be activating on a daily basis. It knows, you know, our spirit man speaks to us when we are functioning in a way that is not pleasing to God. And so just like, you know, when all that is happening, you know, God made us in his exact image and likeness. Our spirit man is willing to withstand the temptation. It's willing to do and say what is right and willing to make sacrifices and changes and all that for the sake of accomplishing the purposes of God. So our spirit man is what should be the driving force. However, you know, our spirit, you know, we know that our spirit desires to be everything that God created us to be. And you know, it's our spirit man and the Holy Spirit together with us, what is intent on seeing God's will, you know, the perfect will come to pass in our lives. However, the flesh, this is what Matthew 26:41 is saying, the flesh is weak. The flesh continues to manifest the opposite of what God's plan is for our lives. So the flesh is what, you know, comes and brings disorder to our lives, you know. And so it's so important because we are a spirit, but we are in a body. So what's the connection between the spirit and the flesh? Well, the connection is the soul. The condition of our soul is what can short-circuit the results desired by the spirit from being manifest in our body. And so the spirit, if we want to put it in terms, you know, that we can all understand, like in the natural. So let's say that the spirit is a man and the soul is a woman. And then the body is the flesh. So a man and a woman in a marriage, the man knows his wife, and that wife, her womb conceives, and there's a fetus in their womb. Well, that fetus, so the woman being being the soul, you know, the spirit can be the man who is the seed carrying agent, the woman being the soul who receives that fetus, but then the body is what now manifests the things that, you know, that the womb is carrying, which would be that child. Now remember, God said he also wants our body to be in health, because our body, you know, whether it's well or whole or it lacks, you know, well, health, is the tangible representation of our appetite, our cravings, our lifestyle. This is our body, is how we display the outcome of what we put our minds to and accomplish in life. This is how our three-part being manifests in the earth realm, in the body. So now I said that the man, the male being the seed, which is, or the man being the spirit, which is the perfect seed, which is the Holy Spirit. That's how we receive the word of God. And that word of God then is translated into or transferred to the soul, which is the womb. Now remember, I said that the womb is where, the soul is where we have our emotions, we have our will, we have our thoughts, good or bad, we have our wounds, you know, our soul is fragmented, you know, it's distorted somewhat. And so that womb is what receives this perfect word that comes from God, because Jesus said the word of God is seed, so that seed is released from the spirit, which is the man, and it enters into the soul, which is that woman, into the womb. And now we're expecting to have a perfect child. Well, it's not possible. In the natural, there's three results. There's three possible results in the when a woman is impregnated. The first one could be miscarriage. The second one could be an abortion. The third could be a full-term birth. Okay, during conception, the woman's womb receives the male seed, becomes pregnant. The seed is then carried. It's developed. It's nurtured. Eventually delivered and brought into the world as a physical new life or a newborn baby. But it's not all pregnancies that end that way. Some cases, when even a pregnancy can be carried full term and delivered, a newborn baby is not always perfect or what was envisioned by the mother and the father. Why? Because problems can arise during that term of pregnancy and cause some babies to be born prematurely. Still others can be born with physical deformities or mental deficiencies or other types of challenges. And even more frightening sometimes could be the result of a birth when a baby is delivered but is still born, you know, and the baby that is born dead. And so even though the physical body of the baby was delivered, he or she never experienced life on this earth. And so where is the problem? The problem is not on the outside. Usually these negative conclusions occur in the womb of the woman. The pregnancy is attributed to the woman's womb not having the capacity to carry or properly protect and nurture that has been implanted in that womb. And so in the same way, using that analogy, in the natural or in the spirit realm, you know, we have same possible results when that word has been release, whether it's a prophetic word that you have received from someone who, you know, is giving the prophet, you know, has given a prophetic word before and their word comes to pass, or whether it's a prophetic word that you release, you received yourself directly from the Lord as you studied the word of God, you know, that word is received, though it's even during just a word you may receive, doesn't have to be prophetic, but even a word you may receive or the word of God you may be hearing right now. You hear it. You're in church on Sundays. You hear the word. It's good. You receive it. Your spirit man receives that word and then transfers that word to the soul, because the soul now, it needs to be worked out in there, just like when, you know, the sperm of the man is transferred into the womb of the woman and it's worked out in the into that, you know, uterus to produce that fetus, which becomes a baby later on. Well, it's the same process with the word of God. It leaves the spirit man, our spirit man, and goes to the womb. Now, remember, our physical body is what is supposed to help us to manifest that. So we're still dealing here with a soul. The reason why the soul is so important is because things get jammed up in our soul. You see, when it comes to our soul, now think about it. If your soul, it has, issues, your soul has not yet been renewed. That's why the Apostle Paul talked about renewing our minds. If your soul is, wounded, it's damaged, it's fragmented, all these, hurts, all this hurt and all this pain is in your soul and you haven't dealt with it, and you've pushed it away, put it in a closet somewhere and it's sitting there. And so you receive this infallible, incorruptible word of God, which is perfect. This word, from God's word doesn't have any damages. It's perfect seed. It's received in our soul, which is damaged or sick. We can never be able to conceive or properly give birth or produce a healthy offspring through our soul, manifesting the things that God has said about us or given to us by inheritance or promised to us in his word, because that seed now mixes with its damaged soul. And when it mixes with its damaged soul from previous relationships, marriages, divorce, abandonment, the rejection, whether it's unforgiveness or depression or, curses, jealousy, all that stuff, the list goes on and on. It mixes with all that stuff. That seed gets lost. And even though at the end of it, whether it was a prophetic word for a thriving business or a completely healthy body or a marriage that is in total harmony and union, children who are complete and whole, whether it's a ministry that is fully fledged and functioning and all that stuff, these promises may have been received, yes, and they were probably deposited into your, you received them in your spirit. However, because this word is going into your soul, which is the agent that has to help to produce or to carry that word until it manifests, outwardly, you'll find that that offspring or that word never makes it through. The three possible outcomes: it can be miscarried in our womb. If that word is received and it's not properly nourished, it can never grow or develop to a fully sustained life, just like a child. We find that our soul now rejects the promises of God and they die in the formation stage. The other outcome could be that we abort that perfect word of God that comes. That soulish arena of ours, that mindset, cannot understand the magnitude of what God has promised us. So, the soul then now ends up, kicking out, basically like throwing up that word, and it hinders the development of that word producing in our lives. Or it can be that third outcome where that the promise is birthed, but it's not fully birthed, it's birthed with defects. That dream, that promise is birthed, but it's not all that God intended it to be. Why? Because our womb, which is our soul, did not have the capacity to fully develop this particular seed, this word. And so sometimes we think, well, maybe that prophet who gave that word lied. It wasn't that way. No, it's not about, well, I can't speak for everybody, but at least I know that when I give a prophetic word, I fear God, so I don't lie about it. It's a true word from God. And when I release it, I release it. It's on you who receives it, depending on the condition of your soul. Because if your soul is wounded, fragmented, it is not whole, then that word will not manifest fully, completely, like a birth where a child is born healthy with no defects. That's exactly what happens to us in our souls and what happens to the word when we receive that word or the promises of God. And therefore, that's why we find that God longs to restore our souls. That's why it's so important for God that we, he says, I wish that you may prosper in every way and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Because he knows that our soul is what will either produce the health on the outward will produce our desired results on outwardly. When that prophetic word or that promise of God or the word we've received doesn't manifest the way we want it to manifest, then we start to question why, what is wrong, what is going on. Well, you may be going through this cycle over and over, year after year, but the root cause of the problem is usually your soul. If your soul has not been dealt with, if your soul has not, you know, not dealt with the issues that are in your soul, they will always short circuit the, you know, your life. In fact, they will always destroy that word that comes, you know, those issues in your life, that fragmentation. It will always destroy the word of God that comes into your life, the word that you receive. And that is why it is super important for God that He restores us back to wholeness. You know, right now when we are in pieces, we cannot receive properly or produce what God desires outwardly for our lives. We can't resemble Him the way God intended us to be. So He can, though. God can. The good news is that once we work on our souls, God can restore our souls to wholeness, so much so that we start producing healthy babies out of us, so to say. When the word is received, that word manifests completely, fully, the way God intended it to be, with no other, you know, with no breakdowns, with no defects, nothing like that whatsoever. It is perfect. It comes out, you know, and God does, you know, the beauty is that when, you know, with unlike in the natural, when that word doesn't come forth the way it's supposed to, God does not cause us to be impregnated all over again. No, we still carry the seed. God just begins the whole process in us all over again, a process of becoming whole, and He wants to restore us that wholeness. And in the natural, a woman may, you know, go through symptoms of nausea, dizziness, and just all that, you know, stuff. And it's the same thing with the spiritual seed. We can at times feel uncomfortable, even sick, but it's important to hang in there because God is working in us to both to will and to work for His good pleasure. He wants to bring to us and develop those things that He has said in us, but we must work on our souls. He desires, He longs to restore us back to complete wholeness so that our spirit, soul, and body are functioning in perfect unity and harmony. But we are out of time this morning. I pray that you've been blessed by the teachings this week. And we will continue talking about restoration next week by God's grace as the Spirit leads. And we'll see where He takes us. But I wanted to share that with you today, that it's super important that we work on our souls. Now, if you desire to know more, you can either go on my Reset YouTube videos, or you can join us at one of our conferences, Be Healed conferences, or at our healing school, monthly healing school out here in Dallas, Texas. And you'll learn more about how to deal with the issues that we carry in our soul and how to get our soul in right standing with God. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Have a blessed and prosperous day. Bye-bye.